What's up, everyone? Do you have plans for celebrating Black History Month? Yes? No? It doesn't matter. Drunk Black History's got you covered. Now, join us on Saturday, February 10th at Caveat NYC for our live Drunk Black History show. During this critically acclaimed event, prominent Black historical figures will finally get their due as guest host Charles McBee of Hell of a Week with Charlemagne the God shares the stage with comedians who are skunked out of their mind trying to recap the biography of a historical Black figure or event that hasn't gotten the mainstream love it deserves. At Drunk Black History, you're guaranteed to laugh, drink, and learn something. Once again, Drunk Black History is on Saturday, February 10th, with a start time at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tickets for both in-person and live stream are available at drunkblackhistory.com. You can also find the Drunk Black History podcast on all podcast applications. Hope you can join us for what's sure to be another classic show.
It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yeah, we back. Black History Year, all in your ear.
Bird.
Crystal clear.
Bird.
You know what I mean? Couple bars for the people.
No doubt.
You know, just a few. Just a few. Just to keep the baby from falling out the window.
Word.
You know what I mean?
Saying.
But anyway, what's good with you, man?
I mean, you know, it's all good over here, you know. So you talk of Black History Year and Martin Luther King's youngest son just died. So
yeah, I saw that.
So like the King legacy. And they only have like one grandchild. So like a girl, granddaughter. So she like got to hold on the whole shit in a minute. It's going to just be her in a minute. Mm. I mean, not to put nobody else out, but I'm just saying.
Right. She felt the pressure just through the mic.
She need bro. She need to, you know what I'm saying, start having some babies, you know what I'm saying, keep the legacy going. Or
right,
not.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Just let it be.
Shit. Let it be. Or not.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Rest in peace to Dexter King, you know what I'm saying? Apparently he was the lawyer that kind of put together the plays of licensing his content as opposed to just letting people use it. So he got him rich, you know.
Yeah.
Shout out to that man.
Salute to that man. Salute to the king.
Word up. Mm. What's going on?
Man. I'm all right. Things are pretty good.
What's going on, man?
Huh?
I said that's what's up.
Yeah. Things are pretty good, man. Just getting these ducks in a row. Sounds mad corporate when you say shit like that. Just getting my ducks in a row.
Yeah, we're gonna circle back.
Yeah, circle back and piggyback off of what was just said and cross our T's, dot our I's, just make sure that speaking of which, there's, I don't know if you've seen, I guess she's on TikTok, but I've seen on Instagram, there's this one woman comedian, I think she's a comedian, but she does this character called Corporate Erin.
Yeah, I like Corporate Erin.
Yeah, she's funny. Kills it with all of that fucking corporate speak, all those buzzwords and shit like that. Yeah,
she had a down pat with the hard swallow. The whole thing.
Yeah, the whole vibe. Yeah, she's a beast. But yeah, man, I've been chilling, man. Just working. But when I say getting the ducks in the road, just kind of just knocking shit off the to do list. You know what I mean? Just a bunch of different things. Gearing up for DC. Gearing up for Hartford. Excited to be getting back on the road. Trying to write some new shit, you know, come up with some new shit. I've been reading and watching a lot of movies and things of that nature. I don't want to say trying to find inspiration, but just allowing myself to wander curiosity-wise and see what's what. There's a lot of things that I used to hear about, and I'm just wanting to see how some of these things check out, or you know, do they live up to the hype and things of that nature. Like I've heard you and amongst other people talk about John Cassavetes, right? You know, And I've watched one of his movies a while back. I forget what it was called, The Woman something. But I just watched Faces for the first time this past, because a bunch of his movies on like HBO Max. I watched Faces.
That's what's up.
Yeah, it's a good. It's at least a handful. And yeah, I watched Faces and shit like that. And it was pretty good. I like it. But it's funny because, you know, I talk to you about film, and you know, you'll talk about film kind of in the technical sense. So sometimes when I was watching, and obviously this is from like the 70s or whatever, so things are a lot different. But like the first scene, like when it opens up, it's like, I'm like, this scene, this shot is blown out. You know what I mean? Because I know you'll be saying some shit like, this shot is blown out. It's a little too blown out. It's like too much noise in the grain of the film. And immediately I looked at it from a technical eye, but then in a second after that, like the performances like really hold you in. You know what I mean? Like, okay, all right, I see what it is. It's back in the day, which I appreciate. You know, like, I forget, somebody said a long time ago, sometimes it's better to go into something ignorant to all of the rules as opposed to studied, because then you know what I mean, like you don't hold yourself to predetermined constraints. You just do what the fuck you feel, you know. So yeah, I like that. I was watching that. I rewatched Rocky because I started watching, what's this shit called, King of Tulsa or Tulsa King on Paramount Plus, which is it's whatever. A lot of people were talking crazy about it, saying it was all of that, whatever, whatever. It's not bad, you know what I mean? I don't really like how to, and this might be recurring throughout this episode, but I don't really like how the black character is kind of written or treated or whatever. But yeah, it's whatever. But it made me say, yo, let me check out Rocky. I ain't seen Rocky in mad long, you know, and it was interesting. It's interesting because, like, when you watch it now, or when I watch it now, I got a lot more scrutiny for that shit. You know, it's some of those fighting scenes are terrible. Like, they are clearly not hitting each other. It's just very bare bones, but the heart is still there. There's the heart of it all. But it's just like seeing it in retrospect and just so many things that I didn't realize, like, Adrian is real awkward, you know what I mean? Like, real introvert, real socially awkward or whatever. And Rocky's a little, you know, Rocky's also kind of, I don't say slow, but, you know, he got his own thing. So it was almost like watching Love on the Spectrum. I don't know if you ever seen that show.
Yeah, somebody else, you know what I mean? It was like,
yeah, it was a little bit of that vibe to it. But, It was interesting. It was cool to see. I mean, and you know, when you look at what they did with the reboot with Creed, Creed took it to a whole nother level. Obviously, it had the benefit of 40 years, but I mean, like, it's a whole, they pumped a whole lot of new blood into that shit. But yes, I watched that. And yeah, I've been doing a lot of that type of shit. Nah. Just exploring.
Nah, that's what's up. Like, wait, with Cassavetes, right? See, when I started looking at his stuff, it was when I first started shooting. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. You know what I'm saying? Shooting cinema style, you know, looking stuff. You know, I didn't know. And then somebody said, they looked at my stuff and like, you know, you got a distinct style. And I'm like, nigga, I got no style. What are you talking about? It's like, nah, that shit is like cinema verite. And I was like, what's that? And then, you know, John Cassavetes, he's like one of the, you know, along with the French directors are, that's what they were doing. That's the style that they were doing. So I went and looked up all that stuff, and it's interesting that you said it looks like it's blown out, da 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 da. See, Cassavetes was doing that shit out of his pocket. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, that nigga was mortgaging his crib to do that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it was like, these are dope stories, and they just doing this shit. Like, they'll say he'll do a movie because he was an actor. They say he'll go do a movie, get paid, then go do his own movie. And then come back. You know what I'm saying? So that's how he was doing that shit. But when you see shit like a blown out shot, it make you not so precious about the actual shot itself. But the moment is what's important. And that's what I was able to put in. You know what I'm saying? You might get a shot that's, it's a little out of focus, But he'd be like, man, that moment was a dope moment and it never happened again. I'm going to use that shit. And then some people that's real precious about shit be like, nah, I'll take that out. But other people who just feeling that shit will be like, yo, that was dope. You know what I'm saying? So I shout out Cassavetes and all those guys. They took a lot of risk with films when it wasn't easy to take risk. And they were telling stories that they just wanted to tell. You know what I'm saying? And if you apply that shit to your own type of shit, then, you know what I'm saying, you probably get some shit off, you know? And that's the way I looked at it.
Yeah, I agree. And I like the stories that he tells. You don't really see as many of those type of stories around now, mm-hmm. you know? Like, it just be real, like you feel like you just a fly on the wall into some real intimate shit going on in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, you talk about, yeah, me and my lady, we had an argument or whatever. We've been getting into these arguments about this, that, and the other thing. And it gets into the real, the deep of that shit. Mm-hmm. You know, those real quiet moments, those loud moments, those, like, just how it meanders, how it is, you know, like, and that be the theme of the whole thing, but it don't feel like it's not anything on the bone. Right. Like, it'll pull you in because it's compelling. Like, it's just interesting storytelling. So, yeah, I thought it was cool. And, yeah, I appreciate it so far. I'm probably watch some more of his shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. What's up with you, man? What's good?
Yeah, man, you know, I just went back to work. You know what I'm saying? You know, every day, full time. So that was cool. To where, you
How's
know,
that been?
It's been cool, adjustment. Man. I haven't adjusted yet. Okay. Physically, you know what I'm saying? Mentally, you know, yeah, it's cool. Physically, okay. You know what I'm saying? It's tough. You know what I mean? You know, I ain't want to go there, but yeah, it's kind of tough to manage your time and your energy when you've been, you know, kind of trapped and chilling for 5 months. You know what I'm saying? But to get back to it, I mean, it's like your body allows you a certain amount of time. And you better get to it in that time, because after that, it's over, Jack. You know what I'm saying? And that's what you got to get used to. What's that time? How I'm going to, you know what I'm saying, pull out the things that I need. Because I'm used to working late at night. You know what I'm saying? If I don't finish some shit during the day, you work all night and fucking get the shit done. You can't do that shit now. You gotta get shit done within the allotted time, or your ass is, you know what I'm saying, done. It ain't gonna get done, period.
Shut down.
Yeah. So just managing that. But other than that, it's cool. A friend of mine, shout out to April Trigg, had an event at Balmain this weekend at Phipps. You know what I'm saying? They just opened a store there in December. And they were reaching out to, like, TV executives and film people and costumers and stuff like that. So I went to that, and that was cool. That was like, you know, it wasn't my first event, but it was like, you know, my first time going solo just to a little small thing, you know what I'm saying, and managing that shit solo. And that was cool, you know what I mean? You know, met some interesting people. And you know, reinventing myself. You see what I'm saying? It's like, you know, it's like a whole new you that you have to present to the world, because it's almost like, you know, everything has changed from, because, you know, how a person relates to the world is like, you go in the world treats you a certain way, and that's how you relate to the world. That's the energy you get back, right? But then, when all of that changes and you go to the world and the world has a different lens on you, now it's like, it's a new place that you had to discover where you fit into this new place, and how do you make this new place do the things that you needed to do or wanted to do, you know? So it's like that, you know what I'm saying? So went there, did that, you know what I'm saying? I put on one of my suits and got to it, because, you know, I guess you... Even when you're in a high fashion scenario, you can't lose with your suit. You know what I mean? Figure shit out. What do I wear to this shit? Well, you put on one of them motherfuckers, you can go anywhere. You know what I'm saying? And so, shit, that's what I did. I threw on one of them motherfuckers and went on. And, you know, and had some conversation and had some fun. Saw some overpriced clothes, you know what I'm saying? I mean, overpriced to me, rather. You know what I mean? And shit, laid it on down. You know what I'm saying? But it was cool because, you know, I got to meet and see people who are doing stuff in the industry that I didn't know, that I never heard of, you know what I'm saying? And move about, you know what I'm saying? So that was cool.
Yeah, that sound cool. That sound real targeted too. Yeah, like that's you know, that's your whole sector.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? Shout out to the team over there. I guess Pravi was the girl who was like hosting it. And I think she's costume designing on one of these shows. They just got an Emmy. So she was just coming back in with an Emmy. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's fire.
So that was dope. You know what I'm saying?
She walked in the event with an Emmy?
Nah. They was just saying that's what she was on a flight coming back from the Emmys. She didn't walk in with the Emmy.
Okay. That's crazy.
Shit. Yeah. I think you pronounce it Provi. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I just saw it on paper.
All right.
But yeah. Shout out to Provi, Brittany, and then what was the other one over there? Taylor. You know what I'm saying? Go check them out over there at Phipps. You know what I'm saying? If you're looking for some designer duds.
Oh, Phipps. I ain't been to Phipps in forever. I used to work in Phipps way back in the day. Yeah, I used to work at old Abercrombie and Phipps. Wow. It's hilarious.
I don't even know if they got that over there no more. They ain't got no kind of stores.
They might have got rid of the... Yeah, it was. I guess it was kind of on the verge when I was there, because it was definitely still the Gucci era and all of that other shit. But yeah, I used to work at Phipps. Phipps was the spot to go to for the movies, like in the cut. Like Phipps was the cut spot.
Yeah, I went to see American Fiction in Phipps.
Okay.
Yeah. I had never been there, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Phipps was the spot. Phipps was the spot because it was in the cut. I was in college. It had the little student discount, shit like that. Like, it was way more low key than what was going on in Lenox.
Fucking with none of that shit now. Damn. That shit is like, I mean, it's almost like if you ain't spending no money, nigga. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it was always upscale. I never was participating on the retail side of things. It was definitely go there, do my job, get my check. You know what's so funny? I think I said this before, but this is how long ago this shit was, just to show you how crazy it was. This was back in the days when Hannah Kang used to work at Kenneth Cole at Phipps.
Wow.
And we got cool. So like, I go up in there, you get a little discount just off the strength, because that was a thing. Like, if you worked in these, well, you know, we work retail, especially in a mall or whatever, you start to build a little network of other people in these spots. Retail friendships, all about yellow beak. You know what I mean? What's up with that discount? I got discount over here. You got discount over here. Da 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 da. So I remember, you know, getting an early pair of like some Kenneth Cole loafers. I remember that shit for the low. Yeah, this is crazy. And shout out to Hannah. That was way back in the day. But yeah. It was a good time, man. But yeah, outside of that, it wasn't, you know, it was definitely a very, like I said, real low key, real damn near felt like a museum.
Yeah, that's expensive shit. That shit is like, you walk in that bitch, it look like it's empty. But I just saw the parking lot is full. I couldn't find a spot.
Right. Where are the people?
They be in the dungeons of the VIPs drinking champagnes back there. I don't know.
Right. Tucked away. Yeah, living a whole different existence. You got it. If you don't know, the epitome, if you know, you know. And if you don't know, stay put.
Only time you really saw a bunch of people is during the pandemic, when it was like outside of, you know, the luxury stores or outside of Tiffany's, and it's a line. We're like, damn, Gucci, it's a line. But then, you know, that's pandemic era. Now there ain't no lines no more. So everybody is just where they at doing what they do.
Yeah, shit is different now. Yeah. But that sound cool, man. That's what's up. That is what it is, man. Oh, man.
You was
it's
out?
Cold as shit up. Go ahead. What you about
was
to say?
Out this weekend?
Yeah, I was out. I was running around a little bit. What did I do? I mean, nothing super crazy. No shows this weekend. I was cool. I was kind of locked in this weekend. I was actually looking forward to that because I had the weekend off. I was like, yeah, I'm about to relax. It's screener season now. So a lot of the screeners came out, you know what I mean? So I got a bunch of shit that I want to watch, you know what I mean? And I'm about to start tearing into. I was kind of low key for the most part. I feel like I went somewhere, but I can't remember. You know what I mean? Like off the top of the head, I feel like I might have went somewhere, but off the top of the head, I can't remember. For the most part, I was chilling, getting shit done, knocking shit off the to-do list, watching these films. Finished up that Black Thought book. That was pretty good. That was actually really good. And, that was it.
Relaxation.
Yeah, a little bit. Little, you know what I mean? A little salon at the house. You know what I'm saying? That type of shit.
Not a salon, but a salon.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, shit. What else is going on with you? Anything else going?
I'm going to pick up my car from the paint shop.
Okay.
This week.
What happened?
I had a little ding in the trunk.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? Smoothed it out and painted over. I mean, You know, it sounds like simple like that, but it's been in the shop for damn near a month. You know what I'm saying? So I'm happy about going to pick it up and get back to it with it. Think I'm gonna give me some sound. I'm trying to figure out how to put this sound in without making it too crazy. Like I don't want to beat the block, but I want that shit to feel like at least a step beyond the modern car, you know what I'm saying? Mm. You know, like a modern car got some, you know, back in the day, that used to be some beat, you know what I'm saying? For like a young nigga, you got two, right. You know what I'm saying? Some motherfucking 6x9s and shit up in that motherfucker. But, you know, I want that shit to feel like you riding in something brand new, you know? It's crystal, crystal clear, you know what I'm saying? Playing a motherfucking Atmos Dolby goddamn Apple Music and shit. I want to hear that shit.
Spatial
clean.
Audio.
Spatial audio and shit. You know what I'm talking about?
Hit them hi-hats.
Them hi-hats and the bass.
Right. Yeah, that's always good.
So, you know, that's a good look. I want to try to get it to a place where, you know, it's feeling like that inside. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I probably look at the rims and stuff this summer. You know, I was going to do it last summer, but, you know, I had to skip last summer. So, next thing I'm going to do is put the sound in there and, you know what I'm saying, elevate my cruising.
Some sound and some feet. Let me ask you this. What's your sound check record? Just to get your EQ right, just to know that you where you want to be. Like, what is the record you're using to balance all of that? Like,
I don't use one record to balance, but to balance my equilibrium.
Right.
Depending on where I'm at with it. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead.
Fresh out, you know, fresh off the paint job. Mm-hmm. It's been a minute. Mm-hmm. It's the reunion. You and Merlot. It's been a little while. It's been a month. You know what I mean? Reunited on some peaches and herb shit. What you gonna put on for the pull off?
I'm gonna put on. Actually, I've been done. I mean, you know, I ain't got the sound in there right now. But you know, what I'm saying?
But you know. In the meantime, the interim.
In the meantime, so it's hard to play the newer stuff because you ain't got the subwoofer. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So it's like, you know, it's like a letdown. So you got to play some shit that's more amenable to, you know what I'm saying, a flatter mm-hmm. system. You see what I'm saying? So
right.
I'm a probably play my funk playlist and okay. the song, you know what I'm saying? One of the songs that I like to get into is a Confunction record. And hold on, what's this Confunction record called? This Confunction record, and it is called, I'm about to get to my playlist right now. This was off the cuff, y'all. This shit is called Got to Be Enough. And it's a record I heard in the distance as a youngster, but I ain't really, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? It wasn't one of the ones I knew. When I heard it, I heard it like on a Shazam type shit. And I was like, ooh, wee, that motherfucker hard. And so I put that in rotation. That's like a good to get it started record. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm feeling good. The sun is shining. I'm going to put that motherfucker on and get that thing going. You know what I mean? And then the rest of the playlist will take care of itself. A couple people, last time I talked about the playlist, a couple people asked me if I had a link to it. And I do. So y'all want a funk playlist, I got a link to it for if you rocking with iTunes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
that on the stories.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? My funk playlist, you know what I'm saying? That's what I use to, you know, get my Saturdays going. You know what I mean? Yes. Watch the car type shit. Yeah, that's good shit. Yeah. But when I get some sound, the first thing right now, if I got it today, what I heard, but I haven't heard in no system, is that goddamn the Young Thug album, the Metro Boomin version of the Young Thug album that just came out this summer, and they got a couple of tracks, man. It's a good album, first of all. You know what I'm saying? And I ain't never been in the Young Thug, but you know what I'm saying? The trial going on. We've been talking about it at work and shit like that. And I was like, let me go see what this last album talking about. I've heard the stuff that hit, but I never went and listened to one of his albums. And so I went and listened to the new album. I'm like, yo, this shit got some joints. Like, the nigga actually talented. You know what I'm saying?
Hilarious.
No, I'm just hilarious. Saying.
You should be a character witness.
I'm just a nigga. Just you know what I'm saying? Just
no. He gets busy.
Just recognizing it. Just discovering it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I get it.
And I'm like, this nigga make a record. You know what I'm saying? And while you know we get the song that I would play is with the Racks, with 21 Savage and Yacht Gotti. That shit sound like it got some beat down in it.
So I think I saw that, but I don't think I heard it because I heard the Young Thug album. So Metro Boomin did his own kind of like a remix album.
I think it's just organized in the songs that he wanted on there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think it's just set up differently. I don't know. I don't think the songs are different. The remix. I think he just had a different way it should have went. You know what I'm saying?
It's kind of like what they did with the Pusha T album when you know Pusha T's last album had half Kanye, half Pharrell. Mm-hmm. So then I think at one point they did it like it was sequenced one way, and then maybe a week later they sequenced it where it's like all Kanye up front and then Pharrell towards the end. Right. You know what I mean? Like that type of thing. So yeah, okay, I'm gonna check it out. With the Racks is the record.
Yeah, with the Racks. It's on, you know what I'm saying, that picture when I went back to work, I used that song.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
But it got some beat down in it. I got to put it in the thing, you know what I'm saying? And what I notice about, you know what I'm saying, a lot of times we make big differentiation between the old music and the new music. And what I'm learning, like, you know, back in the day, you got a pick of what kind of shit you want to, what kind of feeling you want to have. With the music, you know what I'm saying? Some music has, you know, a lot of rebelliousness to it. Some music had a lot of, you know what I'm saying, a lot of braggadociousness to it. And, you know, you got the chance to take your pick. With the new music, a lot of people feel like they all saying the same thing. But that's not what I really what I take from the new music, you know what I'm saying? Like, what I take from the new music, especially when I listen to this album, is like, they have a lot of the same energy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like I'm trying to do this over here, I'm trying to do this, and then I'm going to do this, like a Pac record. Like, Pac had all these different things. I had a girl record, or this record, or that kind of record. This music is real focused on the energy that they trying to bring to their shit. And you know what I'm saying? And a lot of times in this new music, the energy is like, I'm here to get something. This is what I desire. You know what I'm saying? That shit is full of desire. Whatever that is, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people take desire as just somebody you want, or, you know what I'm saying, something that's wanting to get you to some, make some babies and shit. But it's really, when you're going after something, it's that energy that fuels it from that idea to I'm just trying to, nah, I got to have it. You know what I'm saying? And that's where the desire come in. It's like rocket fuel to a dream. And a lot of times people dream and don't have the desire because it's a lot of times regulated to just one piece of society. And this particular type of music, just, it's all, I gotta have it. It's all fuel. You know what I'm saying? It ain't got a whole bunch of other stuff, but it got a lot of fuel. And that's what I try to take from it. And when I listen to his record, that shit is all fuel. For you can add whatever dream you want on top of it, but that's what it is. For them, it's whatever they talking about. For me, it's whatever I want. For you, it's whatever you want. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of times we go out to stuff and don't have that fuel, and then it falls dry. You know what I'm saying? It's like it takes more than just the idea. It takes more than just the talent. It takes the fuel to get you there. And you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm hearing in a lot of this shit.
All gas, no brakes. I've heard the term aligned action as it relates to like desire and manifestation. It's like, that's the steps right after it. It's like, you know, okay, this is what you want. That's what's in your sights. Now, what do you need to do to get there? And that's what they call that aligned action. Like, okay, so now, you know where you're going. This is what you need to do to get there, and it's going to serve the purpose.
Right.
And you, hopefully, you're going to get what you desire.
Right.
So that's what's up. So that's what you're getting out of this, yeah. Particularly the Racks record and yeah. Some of this newer stuff.
Just the sound. It's like a feeling. You know what I'm saying? It ain't even like the words. It's a feeling. It's the way that Metro Boomin produces. It's, you know what I'm saying? Other producers that produce like that. It's a feel. Like when you hear it, you know it. You're like, okay, I hear it. You know what I'm saying? But also, it just points you to what's missing in some other shit. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times we take that feeling of really wanting something and making it a negative. Like, oh, we shouldn't really want nothing. We should be more humble about shit. You know what I'm saying? But, you know what I'm saying? You need that shit. You know what I mean? You need it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
and God, it's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, God ain't give you dreams just for you to sit, let them be in your notebook and on your laptop and shit. That shit need to get out there, and something need to fuel it.
Right. Now, I'm with that. I'm with that shit. Yeah, man. I'm gonna check it out. I like Metro Boomin. I do. Yeah, I like Metro Boomin.
I like what he has created for himself and the soundscape. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, again, some people just be like, ah, them niggas just talk about this, just talk about that. But when you hear that shit out loud in the world, and it ain't really necessarily about what the people are saying, it's how they saying it and how they making other people feel, you start to realize that this shit is bigger than just the words that they saying. Not saying that the industry ain't just throw all one topic on us, because I do feel that way as well, but again, it's a way to look through shit. It doesn't have value because it's all one thing. It's taking some of the one things and finding the value in it or not. You know what I'm saying? I just happen to find some value in what Metro Boomin is doing. You know what I'm saying? It really tripped me like when Future had his strong run and we was doing this event out in Vegas. And everywhere you went, you heard the future record playing in Vegas. And then you start to realize that, nah, this sound is totally different than what else is out there. You know what I'm saying? This is creating a whole fucking lane. You know what I'm saying? In Vegas. You know what I mean? It's like, this ain't just rap music. It's creating something else. It's like, oh, when you hear this, nigga, you want to spend some money, you want to make some money. You know what I'm saying? You want to partake in this shit. You know
score.
What I'm saying? Like, this is different. You know what I mean? And that's what, you know, music does, producers do. Like, when people, like, try to, you know, gauge, was this record better than that record, this artist better than that artist, it's very hard to do that shit sitting at home with your computer and you wasn't outside when that shit was there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, what like, when people start comparing stuff against the Chronic, nah, this album was better, I listened to this more than I listened to the Chronic. Yeah, right. But in real life, the Chronic changed the whole fucking world as far as how people moved and partied and fucking did everything. Like, that shit changed everything. It was one way, niggas was doing the jump, and then all of a sudden, niggas was just bobbing, you know what I'm saying, and chilling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know what I'm saying, niggas wanted girls around at the party, you know what I mean? It was niggas started smoking reefer, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It was different. Niggas got off that cocaine.
Changed culture. Yeah. Exactly. That shit was, you was moving too fast. You was fucking up the vibe with all of that manic energy. Yeah, no. Use this.
Nigga, calm down. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Take it easy.
And the BPMs are just now starting to creep back up.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, even when they use a fast BPM, they rap the slow side of it. You know what I'm saying? It's more of the, like, the Philly dance shit and all that shit that's bringing the BPMs back up. Niggas wasn't on that shit for years in the mainstream of hip hop.
Right. Yeah. It's starting to come about. Speaking of, a couple things. I don't know if you would want to do this shit. I ain't trying to add nothing to your workload, but I know you got the funk playlist. But maybe you put together a Desire playlist. You know what I'm saying? So cats can kind of see what you're talking about. I like Metro Boomin too. I fuck with Metro Boomin. I like what he does with 21 Savage a lot. I like how they work together. One of my joints that they do, they got that record Rich Nigga shit. That's my shit. And what I like a lot about that particular record is there's this one sound on there, and you'll know it immediately once you hear it, especially if you're of a certain age, but there's this one sound that I don't know what instrument or what type of keyboard produces this. I don't know what the name of the sound is, but it's such a specific sound to old school, like late 80s, early 90s R&B. It's this one little thing that's going all the way through this record. If you listen to this record, you will know exactly what the fuck I'm talking about if you're from that era. And if you hear it and you know the name of that instrument or that effect, please let me know, because I want to be able to search and find more of that shit. Like, what? You know what I mean? Because it's of a certain era. It's of a certain era. It's like, about that, you know, it is.
You talking about that 808? It's a side hit. It's an 808.
Yeah,
it's a side,
you know what I mean? Yeah, shit. Yes, exactly. Yeah, I think we're talking about the same shit.
Yeah, it's a name. It's a side. Wait, I don't know if it's side hit, but it's side something. I'm gonna tell you exactly what it is in a second.
Yeah. We got to figure that
out. But in real life, it's when you hit the side of the drum, like the metal part of the drum instead of the drum part.
Okay, like, I can see that.
You hit
a
little click. That's the 808 version of it.
Okay, yeah. And the shit is so specific, but when you know it, like, to your point, like, yeah, you got to, we'll identify it. Either you'll identify it or somebody. Yeah. If you know what that shit is, please let me know. But, speaking of production, right? Because, you know, like I said, I've been, you know, kind of on this little creative curiosity wander about, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I was listening to is a podcast called What Had Happened Was by Open Mike Eagle. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he's a rapper from Chicago. He's been doing these things. He's been doing this like the fourth season of this particular podcast. The first one pulled me in. He sits down with a producer or a creative that, you know, helmed an album or go through their catalog, and they talk about, you know, what had happened was like, what's the creative thought behind it? What was the approach to this record? Blah, blah, blah. And they kind of just give you the behind the scenes of how this record was made. So the first season was like Prince Paul. I know they did one, I think, with LP for like Company Flow. They did one with Dante Ross, I guess, for, you know, he A&R'd a bunch of Tommy Boy shit. But this most recent one that just wrapped was Questlove. And he talks about the first four Roots records, Organics, Do You Want More, Illadelph, Half-Life, and Things Fall Apart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Questlove is always good at that. You know, he's a liner note, like, he's the liner notes personified. He's always going to give you the basically, and this is what happened, and this is the story behind this, and whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. What I appreciate about it is because those particular, Do You Want More to Things Fall Apart, I came to Organics a few years late, but Do You Want More particularly, that was how I discovered the Roots. I remember that shit. I might have stole that album, I think, honestly. I think I stole that.
It was a stealing
Roof Theory and Faith Evans all on the same day. I think that, and I just remember, like, what I liked about the Root shit was, because they would play, they were live. They played, like, they had little jazz elements to it, so they played live instrumentation. So it felt a little highbrow. Like, it felt like some shit, like, I could actually let some of the older people that I knew listen to it. I could put them on. No, this shit here, I think you might appreciate this. Right. You know what I mean? Like, it was just a vibe to it. But they didn't, you know, they didn't hold back on the lyricism or the hip-hop of it all. It was just a good hybrid of it. Like, it was live hip-hop without it sounding like jazzy-ass live hip-hop. It had jazz elements, but it wasn't. There's a thin line. Mm-hmm. They still had the boom bap. Anyway, so that was a big album for that I liked. And, like, Illadelph Half-Life is, like, that dropped when I was in freshman year in college. You know what I mean? I got a bunch of friends from Philly. And then I think, you know, when I was at college, I seen the Roots live for the first time. So particularly those first few albums, I was a super diehard fan, right? And it was just dope albums. And it was just like such a specific sound. So to hear him talk about it, and then they hear him talk about, and I guess also because I read the Black Thought book too, so it was like a little compliment to the whole shit. But just to hear any creative, but particularly this Questlove run, this Roots run, talk about all of the, like, anxiety and the second thoughts and the, oh, that really only happened because of this, and this is how this happened and all of that shit. Like, it just puts it into greater perspective. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool, at least for me, like, when you just in this moment of creation, to hear other creators, people that have architected shit that you really fuck with, and mm-hmm. to hear how they got to it and how they may have stumbled into it or how they may have tried some shit, and then he'll reveal, like, you know, that ain't nothing but this. You know, that basically came from that. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, wow, that's kind of dope. So, yeah, I'm fucking with that. That's something to check out.
Right. So, to answer your question, that instrument is called a rim shot. That's an 808 rim shot.
So 808 rim shot, because I've heard of a, you know, rim shot is so many different. Yeah, type of,
you know, the live one is when they hit the side of the rim, the rim of the drum. You know what I'm saying? It's like like a click.
Right.
It's that. But this one is that's the 808 version of a rim shot. Yeah.
So. Yeah. Now that shit, I'm about to try to find some other records that got that shit, because it took me right back. Like, it took me back to, like, I feel like that's like the Al B. Shaw era. You know what I mean? Like, that type of, you know. It just was like, oh, they killed it, especially to be, like, you know, from this era. They used such an element that was, it reminds me of, like, 30 years ago. Shit. We ain't gonna go 30 years, We will. But before we go 30 years, let's take it back to 2019, to the good old, was it Oklahoma? Where we at? North Dakota? Where
you is ask this every week. We are in North Dakota.
No, North Dakota.
They live in
North
Minnesota, Dakota. But you know, the action was in North Dakota up at the Tillman Ranch.
The Tillman Ranch. This is the finale of Fargo. Yeah. Interesting finale, man. What did you think? How did you feel? Let's talk about it.
Well, generally, over top, you know, overarching, I was generally satisfied with this season. You know what I'm saying? I was entertained. You know what I'm saying? It didn't lose me. I wasn't blowed. I was, you know, I anticipated every episode. You know, I'm new to Fargo. I mean, I saw the Chris Rock season, but, you know, as a, you know, as a active viewer, I was new to it. And I didn't know how I was going, you know, this, you know, these weird talking, you know what I'm saying? Funny place living, you know, actors. I don't know what's going on, but it was intriguing. They did a excellent job with the beauty of the shots. You know, I'm not sure if that accent felt real to the people who actually live it, but to the foreign ear, it sounded like a real accent. You know what I'm saying? I thought, you know, they didn't play their hand to where you knew what was going to go on too fast. You know what I'm saying? They brought in a little science fiction with reality. It was dope, man. I liked it.
Okay. I got a question for you. So you said you're new to the Fargo world. You know, you watched the Chris Rock season, you watched this season. Would you, based on that, would you go back and watch the first two seasons and or the movie?
I would watch the. Okay. I'm going to watch the movie next, and then I double back and check some of the other seasons. I actually watched the Chris Rock season again, just with fresher eyes, because I didn't. You know, right. I didn't know the world that it was built out of. You know what I'm saying? I just watched it for what it was, because it was Chris Rock. It was black people.
Okay. I would have to revisit that one. I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. I liked what's my man's name from Cooley High? What's my man? Glenn Turman. Glenn Turman was good on that. He did his thing. I think my favorite, I don't know which season it is, but I think my favorite one was the one with with Bokeem Woodbine. Is it Bokeem? Yeah, it's Bokeem Woodbine. Kristen Dunst, Jesse Plemons.
You be knowing, them names, boy.
Yeah, for the moment. I mean, I try to. You know what I'm saying?
I be stuck. I'd be like, you know the motherfucker from.
Right. The nigga that look like Elmer Fudd. Right. Or the Porky Pig looking nigga. Yeah, Jesse Plemons. What was I gonna say? But yeah, I liked it. I thought it was good. There was a couple things where I was kind of like, there was a couple moments where I was just a little like, okay. All right. So there was a moment where I was like, damn, Lamorne. I had to Lamorne this nigga. I didn't even go wit. I was sick at Lamorne.
You were surprised by that.
I knew it was coming. Well, I felt like it was coming. I just hoped it wouldn't happen.
Man, nigga, you need to go watch The Equalizer, like, dog. And if you want to see the black man
you
win.
Gotta do it. It's palate cleanser. Yeah, it's the chaser. I needed that chaser because I'm like, he had too much time. He had too much time to go ahead and kill Roy Tillman. But see,
they wanted to bring him to justice.
He wanted to bring him to justice.
They all did. That's why she shot him in the stomach.
But she was about to finish him until they pulled up. Hey, she was ready to finish him. I think she was going to give it to him.
Right.
She's about to let him have it. And then they pulled up the cavalry or whatever. And she's like, no. And then he should have at least shot my man in the knee or at least in the hand, something to get rid of that, You know, and then the way, because Roy is slick as a snake, and he was smooth with it. My man shot, he shot his gun. I thought Roy at least got shot. Roy somehow dodged the bullet and stabbed my man in the chest. And then the worst, the insult to injury is when you get stabbed in the chest, or you get, particularly when you get stabbed in the chest and you're going to have to bleed out. It's going to take a minute. It's going to hurt. When the assailant hits you with the, just breathe deep. It's all right now. Take it on. It's over for you. You know what I mean? Just fade out, brother.
Like,
just,
am I the servant of? Am I a servant of the Lord? You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. Come on,
Samuel Jackson. Yeah. Shit.
You don't need to do that. You don't need to hit me with the man.
Nah, he ain't had no choice, man. This nigga been hobbling the whole season, man. Everybody else got shot, got over their wounds, and was back to normal. You know what I'm saying? Even the old husband got shot, fell off the roof. Nigga, he back at the grocery store, nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Chilling.
Chilling. You know what I'm saying? But they got the black man hobbling the whole season, nigga. He never
all
got
through the thing.
Much
been, and that's what pissed me off.
He been getting fucked up for 500 years, and he's still coming through clean.
Smooth. That's what pissed me off. Couple things. One, the fact that you hobbled out, right? You've been shot. You hobbled. You know what could happen to you. You got the hobble, the limp to prove it. I feel like you should be a little quicker on the trigger.
No doubt.
Just more proactive with your self-preservation. Mm-hmm. But there's a part of me that just took it as a thing where I was like, it was almost like a commentary of real life. It was like a commentary for oppression, you know, because this, like, he was the man behind the badge. I guess both of them had a badge, but he was in the absolute right with everything he did. My man had a weapon. Mm-hmm. He told him to drop the weapon. We've seen this in the opposite direction. You'd have been popped 6 times. Mm-hmm. He got the weapon. You were in the full right. This guy is a deadly weapon. Pop him. Put him down. Like, get it done. But you can't get it done. The system is not going to let you win. Then it's the other part about it where it's like, it's almost as though he was like leading man adjacent, because he was there, but he wasn't there. He was the guy that was recurring. He's from the first episode, damn near to the, I mean, to the last episode. I don't think he took an episode.
In this season, yeah.
Yeah, Whit was there. But Whit was there being hapless the whole time.
Told you all of them was inept.
Yeah, man, but it just felt like a stuffed suit. You know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck is you here for?
The theme of the show was for all the men. No man was going to be a hero in that show, dog. It don't fit the theme. The theme was for the women. You know what I'm saying?
The women had to win.
That was the way of the show. Like, that was the whole point. Like, when she saved him in the beginning. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Every man in that motherfucker was in that. The billionaire husband. The goddamn her husband. Motherfucking Gator. Motherfucking Wit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Goddamn Munch partner. You know what I'm saying? Munch was probably the only salvageable motherfucking male in the series.
That's the other thing I want to talk about. But we'll get to
you. Go ahead.
when it got real, almost got real cartoonish with Munch. Like, all of a sudden, it was a weird thing. Because it was a weird thing. Like, this whole domesticated goon now, like, He's almost like a stray dog that y'all done broke down to where you could pet him. You know what I mean? Like,
why you say he was domesticated?
Cause he was domesticated. Like, Monk was like a killer,
right?
Who spoke in tweets and would kill,
right?
Now, towards the end of the shit, he and this bitch making drop biscuits with honey.
Well, you can't. I'm not gonna lie. Like that, he showed up to kill her.
He showed up to kill her, but he wound up at the dinner table and, like, it turned it damn near to a spinoff.
Yeah,
turned into, like, the wacky next door neighbor.
That's the point. You know what I'm saying? The whole point was she outwitted everybody to make it back home safely. You know what I'm saying? Out the whole show, she's outwitted the billionaire mother-in-law, to her, everybody. She outwitted everyone. And here come Munch, shows up at the crib after a year that she done forgot about this shit. He came to settle the debt because he went to kill her motherfucking ass. And she got away. And, you know, as they sat, he began to look at his life. You know what I'm saying? You know how you go into somebody else's house and you start looking back at your own shit? Like, damn, this is nice.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't never seen no shit like this. You cooking, you making this shit from scratch? Really? How you do that? So this nigga tells his story. He ate sin 500 years ago of a rich man's sin. So all he's been living now is the sins of a rich man. And he can't even die. The nigga don't even sleep. That's what they showing us. Like, the nigga don't even sleep.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So for five, this nigga say he was over that motherfucker eating fleas. Nigga, you can't even take a hunger pang out with a flea. You know what I'm saying?
This nigga just
doing what the fuck he can. Get on the boat, come over this motherfucker, live with the Indians. And then, of course, his friends over here killed all the Indians. Now he back alone. This nigga's just alone, walking the earth, can't sleep. All he could do is fucking the shit that he do, sin and kill motherfuckers. So as she's listening to his story and breaking that shit down, she found a way to outwit him, to, you know what I'm saying, to actually, you know what, I thought I needed to fight this fool and outwit this fool, when really this fool just needs some love. Ain't never had it, you know what I'm saying? And he showed a piece of it when he got revenge for the old lady on Gator. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, he fell for the love. That was the end of the show. You know what I'm saying? That love can defeat all. And you don't have to be Roy Tillman to be a bad motherfucker. That seemed like the messaging of the show.
And I got that. And like I said, I'm split on it. No. I got that. I did, because I thought, okay, I get it. It's a nice little parable. And it, you know what I mean, it brings things home. It just felt a little, it felt like an off note. It just felt like, tone wise, it just was just like, it didn't line up. But I got it. It was a cool way, you know, he told his story. And to your point, your love conquers all. Have a honey biscuit. And like I said, them biscuits look good and hearty. You know, but it was just like, it just felt off. It just felt off. It felt like he wasn't, at the end of it all, his character, they just defanged him a little bit. That's it. It was what it was.
They defanged all of the niggas, man. All of them, every last one.
Yeah, I guess so.
They went clueless to Roy.
Ass Wayne.
Went to Roy. Go ahead. To, you know what I'm saying? Present his life of hell for the rest of his life.
That was funny. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And people be like, you know, man, like, this nigga shouldn't never be coming home. Period. Nah. This nigga had a well full of dead bodies. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. A dead officer in the well. In the little thing. When is he coming out? This nigga ain't coming home.
It's over.
This nigga killed his father-in-law.
It's
over.
It's going to be a bad time.
He killed his father-in-law, the police, on the way out. He got a grave full of motherfuckers. The patch-eyed motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? The wrong body they took from the goddamn hospital. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Plus everybody else who was there long enough for her to have a bone in her hand. Like, shit.
Right.
So.
Yeah, man.
That nigga should never be coming home, ever. They shouldn't even have to worry about him coming home. She shouldn't have to pull no strings, but she went and pulled a bunch of strings to make his life miserable in the jail. She said she paid commissary for A block, B block, D block.
All of them.
Nigga, all of them.
Everybody. Everybody. Everybody eating. Everybody eating. And I told them this to keep you alive. Just to tear your ass, just to bring you within an inch of your life every 2 weeks. Just cause. I liked her because she, as contrary to Monk or Munch or whatever my man's name is, she kept the same energy from beginning to end. I mean, she had a little moment where she got a little bit, she gave Dot a hug.
Right.
But even after that, she kind of dusted that off too, got she back like, to,
all right,
you know
now,
what I mean?
All right, little, now, enough. Okay, yeah. Now. Stop
little icy
now.
Hot. Yeah, come on now, take
but
it easy.
She respect her. She respect her.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. She respected what she went through. She knew it wasn't no cakewalk.
And what she went through to get up out of there. You know what I'm saying? Like
yeah.
She know the story. She know she, you know what I'm saying, killed Munch partners. You know what I'm saying? Shot Roy in the stomach. She done, shit, Doc got bodies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and then Doc could get through it. Doc could get through it. She resilient. She resilient to the motherfucker. So, yeah, overall it was cool. I enjoyed it. I told you my two qualms, but overall,
I mean,
it was cool.
I started with those qualms. I left them alone top of the season because
gotcha. That shit
was already there. You know what I'm saying? Black man got shot first thing up, nigga. First time we seen him on screen, pow. You know?
Yeah.
So you already knew what was coming. So old Gator. And this was the trip part, how old Gator been Gator the whole while, but, you know, he part of the family. Gator got sympathy at the end. She going to bring him oatmeal cookies to the jail.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Black man ain't getting no sympathy, no mercy, goddamn. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you talking about homie with the hat. With
no,
the
Wit.
10-gallon hat.
Wit.
Oh,
that
Whitney.
Nigga. I don't know what happened to that nigga. He just,
yeah, I don't know where he
got outwitted a few times. They just didn't show him no more.
Yeah, when Pops killed the father-in-law though, when Roy killed the father-in-law, Roy he loved talking shit after a kill, first of all, but I like that little scene where, you know, O-Head was they were you know going back and forth.
O-Head wanted square. Roy was like, niggas, let's square up then.
Take your teeth out so we can get it in. And my man was like, I bet. I ain't never heard nobody say no shit like that. Take your teeth out so we can get it in. That was crazy. That motherfucker hit you with the sling blade. Got that whole jugular going.
Yeah.
Bleed out. I forget what he said to him, but he said some shit. And you ain't talking shit now, you old motherfucker. Something like that. He'll tell you. He'll get to you.
Bet you can't talk shit dead, nigga.
Yeah, exactly. He good for after the fact. He good hit your ass
that
with
nigga
the
just killing
you know,
niggas up, nigga. I'm gonna kill niggas in front of the police. Fuck it.
Yep. Fuck it. It is what it is. I told you it's war. I told you what you gonna expect. You come on here. Yeah, and I killed your father, shorty. Go
she
somewhere.
Saw that.
What are you doing? Yeah, you know.
He like, don't you know make me chase you.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
So, yeah, anyway. So he went out with a blaze, you know what I'm saying? Black cop, you know, went out, how he went out. Dottie back home making biscuits and shit, you know what I'm saying? Everybody good. The motherfucking, the indebted police got her a new job with the rich lady, you know what I'm saying? She probably be driving a Porsche soon. So all's well that ends well in the white world.
Let's take it. Now let's go to Southside.
Southside.
Go to, there you go.
Queens
go to,
get the money.
Queens. Mm-hmm.
Word up. So Kanan, let me start off by saying this, man.
Go ahead.
We've already established that Raising Kanan is probably the best show in the Power Universe. That's off top. You know what I'm saying? A lot of attention to details. You know what I'm saying? Pretty much, I mean, they're good with the form of the look and feel of the 90s. You know what I'm saying? They bring in the fashions. You know what I'm saying? There was a couple of choices this year that I didn't agree with, but it's okay. Like, they had the fives. Like, Unique had on the fives, black and gray, with like a Louis with an MCM sweatsuit and shit. And it was like, nah, niggas wouldn't have wore that together. But it's okay. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Niggas weren't gonna wear black and gray shoes with a black and brown suit. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't gonna happen. But it's okay. So you know what I'm saying? Shout out to 50.
You looked the other way.
Yeah,
you
looked the other way. And actually, like, they didn't show it on screen. That was like a picture that was.
Still?
Yeah, it was like a still. Okay. So, you know what I'm saying? It was something that didn't show up on TV, no way. So, I can't even count that. So, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to 50 Cent, you know what I'm saying, for providing his life story for a fifth time, you know what I'm saying, as we get deeper into it. You know what I'm saying? And so this particular episode, man, shit, where do I want to start? Let's start with my favorite character, Uncle Marvin, man. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Uncle Marvin. Marvin.
Real quick. You said that shit. Because I was going to ask you that as we faded, but we transitioned too quick. But do you have a favorite character from this past season of Fargo? And if so, who is it?
Shit, nigga. The mama and Munch. I like Dottie. Yeah. I like Dottie.
I like Roy. I'm not gonna lie, I like Roy
too. I did like Roy. I like these motherfuckers, man. I like these. I didn't like these inept ass niggas, but I like these motherfuckers.
I even liked Indira.
But I like Munch because he was almost science fiction. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but playing and like they mix science fiction with a real world thing, and you know what I'm saying, you couldn't tell is this nigga 500 years old or not, and it turns out he was.
That's wild. Alright, so go ahead, Marvin.
So I'm just gonna start with Marvin because he's the most solid nigga on the show. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
He's just about his business. That's the people say nowadays. He's stand on business, and you know what I'm saying. And he got a hive. You know what I'm saying. So Marvin, you know,
so he got a hive.
He got a heart. He had a heart.
Okay. Nigga, okay. Actually, I didn't know Marvin had a hive. Okay.
No, he had a heart. You know what I'm saying? It's like
It's like real people. He's evolving.
It's like real people that I knew. You know what I'm saying? Them niggas was in the game and they was doing their thing, but they actually raised their kids and fucking took care of you and loved you and fucking had a heart. You know what I'm saying? Had some morals or scruples about themselves. So, you know, Marvin goes up to, you know, check on his white accountability partner. Right. He got the kids outside in the car while he in the house doing dope. You know what I'm saying? He's Marvin like, man, come on. Now, y'all come on in this house, man. They saying make no goddamn sense. Hey, nigga, what you doing, man? Nigga, pull your shit. Get your shit together, nigga. You know what I'm saying? He gave him a real black man. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
Tongue thrashing. Exactly. Nigga, get your shit together, nigga. You got these kids out here in the driveway. What's wrong with you?
These babies ain't got no shoes on? Nah, go ahead. I'm just thinking.
Conveniently finds a box of cornflakes to nibble on as he do it.
Right. Gonna eat something. You're gonna have a snack.
Yeah. It's in the box of cornflakes. Nigga, did you ask? He's like, you know how it be, boy. Once nigga find out you on drugs, nigga, that becomes they house.
It is what it is. Nigga, we ransack it.
This shit is not no longer yours, man. You gotta bow down, nigga, cause you on dope. You a junkie. You know what I'm saying? That's how niggas feel. So Marvin had to go say to the white man, which I believe is gonna be, you know,
it's downfall.
You know what I'm saying? It feels like niggas getting set up to lose Uncle Marvin to some ghetto warfare. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
because it's like, come on, like he the only one they having us invest in. You know what I'm saying? This nigga is
the heart of the show, damn near.
Yeah,
well, there's a few hearts, but he's one of the like real deal. To your point, he's a dynamic character.
See the thing about a lot of things about this show is that a lot of these characters line up to life, real people. You know what I'm saying? Real life shit. It ain't like they just made some shit up and it's just out there on some old borderline fantasy shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like Marvin is perfectly suited in the role and how they dress him and how they put him together, because it's like he one of them guys that was, say, older than me, right? He like older, little old. He probably from the disco era, but he's still young enough. When the shit done changed over to hip hop, and you know what I'm saying, life is changing. But you can see how he dressed. He still dressed a little too mature for, You know what I'm saying? He don't dress like Unique. Unique was fully hip hop. You know what I'm saying, nigga?
Right. Right.
But Marvin dressed like, you know, he halfway trying to dress up from the old days, but then keep it cool at the same time with his chains on. So
right.
So he right there in the mix, you know what I'm saying? So you know, he trying to say the white guy, and that story gonna be hell for Marvin. It's just I could see a lot of bad things happening for Marvin fucking around with my man. You know what I'm saying?
And the cops are circling him too.
Yeah, they circling
him. FBI got things. Yeah.
And this nigga's a liability. He on dope. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you got that. You know what I'm saying? He trying to be a father. You know what I'm saying? Overzealous. You know what I'm saying? Fucking shit up at jukebox job, singing with the old, you know what I'm saying, hip hop producer lady. Motherfucking. Then he got to step to Lulu. Yeah, Lulu.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, went over there running your motherfucking mouth, man. You got to make this shit right. Damn, what? Huh? Lulu don't even remember that shit. She's drunk.
Got the alcohol amnesia.
Right.
He don't know what happened. He don't remember being anywhere.
Right. Yeah. I didn't even know they still made alcoholics like that, but they do.
Yeah, shit there. Yeah. He chased that with some dementia. Nigga don't know what's going on. Like, what is the world? But with the Lou thing, so he make him have to get things right, because fortunately, old Detective Howard, you know, this motherfucker is all hands on deck.
This nigga, he don't miss nothing.
He don't miss nothing. This motherfucker is playing, what's the game? Was it Pong or whatever, where you gotta just keep the shit from moving? That, like, he just got a bunch of.
He playing that
what's
shit.
What's it called?
I don't remember the name of it, when the motherfucker shits pop up out the ground, like the little groundhogs, you gotta hear them and shit.
Little whack a mole.
Whack a mole. That nigga playing whack a mole.
Whack a mole. So he see, oh shit, they go fucking, what's my man's name that got
Scrap.
Killed?
Scrap.
Oh, damn, that Scrap's mom's with Peck.
What the fuck she talking? He know everything.
He know everything, but nobody know him. But he know everything, which is interesting. And the people that he work with, they detectives, but they have no clue.
Right.
So he's like, you know what? Let me go over here. I'm going to bring Peck. Come over here. Let me handle this. You do this. They want to talk to you. He spin him. He take Scrap's mom's into the interrogation room, get the information out of her. You know, look, this is what's going to be, but don't tell nobody else but me, because you don't want to look like a snitch out here in these streets.
Right.
You know what I
mean?
Think
this
you're
talking
is just
to the
me.
Police.
Mm-hmm. But this is, it's beyond the police. This is black man to black woman. This is us. Mm-hmm. This is us, Ma. I got you. Okay? Mm-hmm. All right, boom. Now I got to go see Rock. Rock, yo, your boy Lou, this motherfucker out here wilding out. Drunk to the motherfucker, then wound up sitting in a recliner crying and confessing. Good thing I got to pick it off. I played interference and it didn't go anywhere. It's going to stop with me, but we got to right this wrong immediately. Mm-hmm. So then now, you know, Rock like, nigga, first of all, don't admonish me, nigga, because you only... really concerned, because you know your shit'll crumble, because the whole reason is you did this, da 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 da. Rock got receipts. She's a motherfucker, her mind is like an elephant.
Man.
So then boom, she tell Marvin, you gotta tell Lou, he gotta make it right. Lou show up to the damn near intervention, to the make good of it all, still drinking and drunk. You know, like, he's all the way in his bag as an alcoholic now. Like, he's off the deep end. So this nigga's so drunk, I'm thinking he gonna fall up the stairs. He's stumbling. But when it came time to kill, he got that shit. He got his Roy Tillman on. That motherfucker. Bing.
He did what they be saying out here. He pushed her wig back. That wig was linked.
Word.
Shit was linked. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that
by the
shit
time
was all the way
down. That shit was linked.
Took a top off. Yeah. Took a whole top off and crashed her through that damn glass coffee table. Shout out to all of the glass coffee tables that was half hazard, half opulent, you know what I mean, centerpiece in many living rooms across the world. But yeah, that glass coffee table going through it, whoever set that up, man, I think that was, they did their thing with that because it looked real. It looked like that was a good crash
black,
and
good black yeah. crash.
Yeah, yeah, that worked out. That worked out. But yeah, and Lou stumbled back into the car and handled his business.
Start seeing ghosts. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Saw
scrap in the window.
Like, this shit just get worse and worse. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like he ain't helping nothing, ain't fixing nothing. The more he the more he go through it, shit, he gotta take more bodies. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's so. Past the point of no return at this point.
Right.
You know, it's a damn shame.
Right.
We're going to see what's going to happen to him. What else? So we got...
We're back at the apartment.
Yeah, back at the apartment.
You know what I'm saying?
See old...
Ronnie and Kanan got the operation going. And
yep.
Old Paul got some shit to say.
Paul is the Paul dispatch
messenger.
Guy?
Yeah, the messenger guy.
Yeah.
Who took over his business. Uh-huh. Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, last time he's like, you're going to tell the police, and Ronnie ain't like that, but Kanan straightened it.
Nah.
But now Ronnie is back to like, nigga, we going to clean this shit up. So they go and rustle Paul up, you know what I'm saying, and
mm-hmm.
make him piss himself. You know what I'm saying? Which was was odd. They said it, but there wasn't nothing wet on the couch and nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, where's the visual to this? Because I'm just trying to believe this like it's a play. You know what I'm saying?
right. Yeah.
Hey, nigga, y'all did not do the rest of the work. But
right. Where's the continuity? Yeah.
But I get
what's
it.
What's going
I get
on?
It, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to let y'all get a pass. I like the show now.
Ronnie got a little bit of OCD too. You see that one moment where he dragged my man out the thing, but then he take my man's jacket, puts it back on the hook. We see like some old being in jail shit a whole lot of times. His cell probably was very tidy.
Right, but it ain't even just jail. See, here's the thing, man. I say Marvin's my favorite character. I like Ronnie. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Ronnie is playing a role you don't get to see much on TV. You know what I'm saying? But I know these people. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are people out here in this world like this. You know what I'm saying? They're a little awkward, but they going to take that shit to the edge of the earth to do what they trying to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's like, a lot of times niggas ain't finna fuck with them. They going to take that shit. They going to scorch the earth with this shit. And they just look regular. Back in the 80s, it was like, you know what I'm saying? One nigga who had a spot, you know what I'm saying? It's just funny because I don't even want to say his name now. It's 30 years later. You know what I'm saying? But a nigga like Vicious Vi, right? Vicious Vi was, he ran Vicious Funk DJs. He wasn't going to have on nothing but ever but some jeans and a white t-shirt. Ever. You know what I'm saying? That's just getting fresh. You know what I'm saying? And even when he put some links on, that shit going over a white t-shirt is red, like not even like where you look like, oh, that nigga cool. Nah. But Vicious Vi was niggas you ain't really want to fuck with. You know what I'm saying? He had his shit set up. This shit, nigga shit was organized in a motherfucker. They had a spot in Scott Projects. And I'm sorry for going off the show, but I just want. They had a spot in Scott Projects where in between the buildings, they had two tables set up. One take the money, one give you the dope, right? And there was a $20 Coke spot, and he ain't accept nothing but $20 bills. You can't come in there with ain't no change, nigga. It's nothing but
$20.
Nah, nigga, $20 bills. And niggas had to follow the rules. You know what I'm saying? Niggas was right. And nigga had like TV, like a line of people buying ready to buy cocaine, not a club. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And shit was crazy, but he was that dedicated and that focused to organize his shit in that way. And it reminds me of a cat like Ronnie. You know what I'm saying? Because this nigga was not worried about no style, none of that shit. Just business. But anyway, I digress. So so Ronnie, his, you know, he take care of Paul. And then here come Famous trying to get his little stuff, trying to pack up and leave his own apartment. You know what I'm saying? So Ronnie like, nigga, where you going? You know what I'm saying? Because I guess Kanan ain't telling him, he kicked him out. So fucking Famous is like, I'm going to my mom's. You know, she misses me. That nigga Ronnie like, she misses you, nigga.
What does she miss about you, nigga?
Like, what's anything to miss about you? Like, I got a mama. Damn. She don't miss me. Mm-hmm. Right, damn, dude, you got a mama? Damn, right. I guess a nigga would have a mama, but you the type of nigga don't seem like he got a mama. But so, you know what I'm saying? Now, Ronnie pressing, Famous looking at Kanan like, help me, nigga, help me.
Right. What's going on, Pop? Please step in.
Kanan,
talk
like,
to your mans.
Kanan like, shit. No, he shouldn't really be pressing Fame like this, but I enjoy it. Then, you know, eventually he steps in and stops it. You know what I'm saying? Fame,
yeah, man.
Go home to
his
mama.
How they doing Famous so dirty this season. They tearing him up, man. He getting so violated, man. It's a damn shame. But you see that. You see that when friends fall out or one the friends turn into a bully versus bully dynamic, and it's like damn near Stockholm syndrome friendship type shit, and it's fucked up, man. Because that was your man,
right?
And now he's an underling. You know what I mean?
Well, you gotta practice somewhere. You gotta practice your deviousness somewhere.
Yeah, I guess you need a stunt dummy. You know, a crash test dummy. You know, I tell you one thing, Jukebox ain't about to be the one.
Nah, so Jukebox come through to the pot, man. Nigga, what the fuck going on up in here? You know what I'm saying?
Bitch ass niggas.
Nigga, you're just a little nigga. You know what I'm saying? Trying to impress your mammy. Nigga. Mm-hmm. I see your motherfucking ass, nigga. Now what? What you gonna do, nigga?
Want to be a thugster?
You wanna take that? Why you do Aisha like that, nigga?
Right.
Aisha,
what's wrong
with you? You know.
Yeah.
Ronnie looking at this situation like, do I need to intervene?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I gotta handle this because I handle shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'll get this out the way. I don't feel allegiance to none of these.
But he also was probably looking like, oh, this is people. You know what I'm saying? I wonder how he watching how Kanan handle shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah.
So Kanan had to let him know, nah, nigga, that's fam, nigga. I handle my own family, nigga. You ain't got to worry about that. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Which introduces a little point of friction between Kanan and Ronnie for the future.
What, the family angle? Like, Kanan actually has a family?
Just he stepped to him like, nigga, nah, you don't fuck with my family.
Right.
Like, that's a rule.
Right.
Nah, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, in TV, rules are meant to be broken. Like, they don't just throw shit out there like that just for sake.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's where, because he just killed his brother. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He just let the bodega lady boost him up, you know what I'm saying, and put him in position because he killed his brother. And he probably going to kill Pernissa, you know what I'm saying? So he don't look at family like that. So that's a conflict.
Yeah, they in the way. Because family don't look at him like that. He said it. My moms don't fuck with me like that. My moms don't miss me.
But I'm saying.
He look like a motherfucker who moms don't miss him.
Right.
You know what I mean? He ain't missed.
He
ain't get too many hugs.
Long time, nigga.
Yeah. But even that. There's probably was animosity between him and Unique. Unique probably got at least 1,100 more hugs than Ronnie got. Because Ronnie probably been off since a kid.
Ronnie was Doughboy and fucking Unique was
exactly.
Ricky.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's exactly where it all started. That's where the two different branches. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, man, but that shit crazy. Speaking of Jukebox and Aisha, aka Pukebox, which is funny. And then what's the other girl's name? I forget her name. But
Carla or K?
Something with a K. Homegirl's gunning for that number one spot.
At the end, as my man on the internet who be doing the Kanan recaps and shit. He was like, yeah, she wanted to get her cheeks clapped.
Yeah. And she did. Looked like she did. She was like, oh, you like a bold woman. you're gonna enjoy me. Like, I like how she, you know, she playing her little role, like her, you know, her little animosity. Hopefully, I'm curious if her and Jukebox is gonna get it in. Man. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I do like how they
of a whole situation.
It could be. It seems like there's little seeds being built. Just like how I still feel like there's that little tension between Rock and Juliana. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which,
Bodega Girl.
I called it though.
Yeah, you did.
Juliana and old Ronnie. I seen the shit going down. I'm like,
weird ass hookup.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Rocky is basically Rocky and Adrian again, but the new age Southside Queens version. You know what I mean? Again, level on the spectrum. You know what I mean? Just some different motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? Two misfits. I don't want to say that. But two weird motherfuckers that damn. Problematic.
But listen, y'all, I wasn't calling Vicious Vi weird. I'm just saying the nigga was focused and he wasn't worried about style.
Be clear.
He didn't fit into the style, okay?
Be clear.
All right,
he
now
was
don't
meticulous.
Come for me.
He was eccentric.
You know what I'm
saying?
Niggas fit that mold. I mean, y'all calling them weird, but it's real people out there like that.
Oh, man. Yeah, for sure.
Now that we cleared that up, continue.
Absolutely. But, yeah, so that was interesting to see what was going on, that little moment between Juliana and Ronnie. It looked like she was more into him than he was. He still ain't all the way loosened up yet.
Nah, he don't know how to get loose. He don't know how to get loose.
Nah, it don't seem like it. It don't seem like it. He's just uptight. But what else? So
Pernissa comes home. She comes home and, you know, they in the middle of getting it on. Or trying to get it on, or getting started to get it on. And he like, what you doing here, Pernissa? Pernissa like, I live here, nigga. This is me and Unique's house. It's my house. Right. He like Munch and motherfucking Kanan. Everybody getting kicked out around this motherfucker. This is my shit now. I live here now.
You are in the way. I forgot what he said, but he said some shit like, man, you are fucking shit up, man.
I was wondering, did he get that play from Kanan? You know what I'm saying? Like, shit, this nigga just kicked this nigga out.
Oh, did you start displacing niggas?
That's a smooth move, little nigga.
I think I'm gonna do that. All right. Think, hell yeah.
Fuck just settling for the cornflakes and the Cheerios, nigga.
Shit. Pernissa's had a bad season, boy. She's been going through it.
Pernissa
She's been
to
catching
high.
Hell.
She need to go high.
Something.
Move to North Carolina,
give her
nigga.
A win. Boy, she is tough for her. Jerome ain't nowhere to be seen. I don't know if he with his grandmother or something, but he tucked away.
Yeah,
we ain't seeing that. We hear about him. And that's good because you don't want, you know, because Ronnie's crazy.
Yeah.
What else is going on?
So, Kanan had, you know, he fucking the group. You know what I'm saying? But we went through Kanan. Mm-hmm. Famous, he went and saw his mama. She welcomed him home.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't never have to leave again. That's a lie. Because Famous still got the goddamn gun he killed the nigga with. Famous going to jail.
Yep.
Fucking around.
Yeah, Famous. Because he's telling everything on record. He don't know.
That nigga going to jail.
He's going to jail.
They gonna blame the whole operation on him. Yeah, that's who they thought was Marvin. He ran the motherfucking projects and all that shit.
Damn.
And they gonna dare him to say something. Say something, Famous.
Yeah. It's a damn shame. I hope Famous don't fuck around and kill himself.
Nah, he ain't gonna kill himself. Famous going to jail. They ain't got him dragging that gun around for him to kill himself.
We'll see.
Rock is on to her new back in business. Shit, she like, fuck this shit. I was made to sell dope, man. Fuck it.
Mm-hmm. Rock's always good in the pitch meeting. She always got some slick shit to say. She gonna close the deal.
Yeah. So Rock gets the connect from the Italian dude again, and then she goes to see him. He like, man, I ain't fucking with you. This shit dead. And she convinced him, of course, like you said, with a you know what I'm saying, 80 chic pitch meeting. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Shit. She went and closed that. Now she go to the Chinese spot to get that back popping, which never got popping. I don't even think they ever sold dope out that motherfucker, but okay. So she going to launch the Chinese dope spot. And she looking at the operation. She's like, yeah, but this ain't going to be enough. You know what I'm saying? Who the manager around this motherfucker? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's him sitting over there. Then old motherfucker Marvin, oh, goddamn, that nigga eating the number 38. Nigga, that's a number 38? Yeah, shit. Give me one of them number 38. Shit. And he like, shit, I got 20 of these motherfuckers. What y'all want to do? So they ran a pitch to run the operation through all 20. And he won't in. He want a percentage. He don't even want to get broke off. He won't in. So now Rock's set. You know, these niggas, these the power deals is like Tyreek going from Queens to the goddamn school. Just pop up. These deals is done quick. You know what I'm saying?
Quick. So yeah. One pitch.
Yeah, one pitch. It's in. Yeah. Nigga, I see the whole shit. I see the whole play. We got this cracking. And shit, now as I see it cracking, I'm going to see who the distributor is so I could, you know what I'm saying, work my way through the distributor through all Chinese restaurants, maybe. They like, man, we only sell to Chinese people. So that was a little bit of Queens racism for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, but Marvin's right there by us by our side, you know what I'm saying, true to form, holding shit down. Like you say, Howard's playing whack-a-mole. Jukebox is feeling the wrath of a cousin through her own group. Plus the service, the motherfucking service wanna. Shit, we don't know what's going to be Jukebox fate.
Yeah, we've been waiting for whatever is going to be that final straw. She's been going through a lot, but it's just like, what is it going to be that's going to turn her? We already know. She don't view Kanan in the same way she view like everybody else does. Mm-hmm. And she makes it abundantly clear.
She
her little cousin. Yeah, she said, I used to wipe your nose. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean?
They ain't showed that shit, but you know how when you grew up with mother, your cousin, they pee the bed and shit. You're like, nigga, you used to pee the bed, nigga. Shut
the
fuck up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I know your origin story. Fuck out of here. So there's that.
All your new Benetton clothes can't help you, nigga, with me.
Stop playing. You know what I mean? There's also what was Howard's partner's the girl? What was her her name? Well, you know, Pops and her
Officer Brooks,
ex or her girlfriend.
Forget her name.
Burke.
Yeah, Officer Burke.
Yeah. So now her people's is swirling a little bit, and they sniffing back around Howard. So there's, you know, shit is closing
Howard
in a little bit on Howard.
Howard is fucked, man.
Yeah, but he's slippery, though. You know what I'm saying?
He fucked.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. I'm trying to think, are we forgetting anybody?
They gonna have
I didn't
to,
get I will
after all huh? that shit catch up with Howard, they gonna have to kill him. I think Rock probably gonna kill Howard because this is too much. That nigga know too much. That nigga is a liability.
I think I asked you this week after week, because I don't think Rock is gonna make it through the season.
Dang.
I think she's gonna get killed. I don't know. I think that'll be a big swing, but I feel like that could happen, even though I don't want that to happen, but I could see it setting up.
Yeah.
I think Ronnie's going to do it. A lot of people feel like he don't have enough equity in the show to really get that off, especially to get two big, you know, bodies off of it. He knocked off Unique and he knocked off Rock. That's a little crazy. But I don't think she's going to make it. There's also the theory that maybe Kanan kills Rock. I can't see that. I don't know who's going to kill Rock.
I don't know if Rock going to die. I don't have that on my bingo card.
Okay. I hope not. And you know, man, I don't know.
Howard going to get it. I mean, they setting it up to where you would enjoy to see Howard get killed as slimy as he is.
Do you think, and I know you have some feelings that you think Marvin gonna make it to the end of the season?
See, that's the consumer, the viewer in me. It's like, damn, they gonna kill Marvin. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want him to because they setting it up so smooth. But Marvin probably gonna go to jail at some point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But with Famous.
Him and Famous and shit.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Nah.
I was going to say, what you think about Lou? What you think's going to happen with Lou?
Damn. Shit. Lou probably going to make it. Lou probably going to clean up and run his bar and discover some band that we knew in hip hop and shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right, going to be.
Going
to
discover Nas.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, God damn, that nigga is the motherfucking Trackmasters. Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah. Look at that.
Right. You know look at this shit.
That's the nigga that discovered 50 Cent.
Right. Ain't this a motherfucking shit? Look at that. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Some shit like that.
You know, what's funny about that, like, which I appreciate because it's, you know, it's, shit has evolved a long way. But, like, if this was, like, the early 80s and damn near, like, cartoonish, this shit would have definitely been, like, Run DMC would have made a cameo. Right. You know what I'm saying? Or somebody real obvious. Oh, shit. Is that Run DMC? And they just, they all in the B-boy pose and shit. Right. Like, they ain't even, they just, hey, bro. Any fucking way. I'm trying to think. Who else? There was some other thing I had a question about, but go ahead.
But here's just another anecdote. You know what I'm saying? Why I fuck with Ronnie. And not because of the actual character per se. But it feels like, because before this show even existed, when 50 Cent first came out with How to Rob and all that shit, I felt like he was that type of nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it would make sense that he would learn and grow up under that type of nigga in the game. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like a nigga that's just gonna take it all away, ain't really stylish, ain't really, but that nigga gonna go all the way to the extent to get shit done how he wanted to get done.
Right.
That's how he felt.
Desire.
He felt that, like, yeah, he felt like that as an artist. Like, I always had him pegged to be one of them, and it wasn't none of them type of niggas that existed in the game. That's why it was so obvious, like, oh, wow, that's what that nigga is portraying. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It was almost like when 3-6 Mafia came out, they portrayed the lowest life it nigga that you know what I'm saying? But they wasn't the one who was taking it all the way there. They was just, you know what I'm saying, playing drug adult, you know what I'm saying, street nigga. But this is like, nah, focus. Like 50 don't do drugs and shit, probably don't drink.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like that just focused on his shit. It feels like a 50 Cent would have learned from a nigga like that. You know what I'm saying? Would have came like a Kanan would have learned from that type of nigga. So I could dig it. You know what I'm saying? I could see where they're going with that. Even though people don't like him. You know what I'm saying? I've seen that person in real life.
Yeah. No, I dig it. It's funny enough, he's a good role model as far as certain things go. You know,
stay focused, young man.
Yeah,
don't worry about that shit.
If there's one thing I'm gonna teach you is how to follow through. So that's that. But let's before we get up out of here, question for you, real quick. One thing that I did do this weekend is I did watch these playoff games, and you know, next week we got the Lions versus the 49ers, and we got the Chiefs versus the Ravens. I know you on your Lamar Jackson wave. Do you have a prediction for who's going to make it to the Super Bowl?
Yeah. I don't know shit, but my prediction is Lamar Jackson makes it to the Super Bowl this year. The black prediction is, you know, everybody want Baltimore and Detroit to go to the Super Bowl. Nigga, that's going to be a thugged out Super Bowl, boy.
I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be, but I don't know if they're going to let that happen. So, you know what I'm saying? If it's 49ers and the Ravens, that's a good balance of, you know what I'm saying, black and white and good and, you know what I'm saying, evil and, you know what I'm saying, forces against them, you know, forces all for you. It makes for a good storyline, you know what I mean? I would like to see Detroit and Baltimore make it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That'd be a good ass story. Yeah,
that's
sure.
good for you know, blackness. Good for culture.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see what happens. We will see what happens. But before all that, actually immediately before that Super Bowl, You can catch me at the DC Improv February 8th through the 10th. February 8th through the 10th. Get them tickets. They selling. Get them tickets right now. DamianLemon.com or DCImprov.com. And then the week after, February 16th and 17th, catch me in Hartford, Connecticut at City Steam. Check me out at City Steam. Again, you get tickets at DamianLemon.com. You know what I mean? Yeah, let's come on out. Let's have a good time. And until the meantime, till next week, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even the enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.